Turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm chapter 78. We're not going to be doing a verse-by-verse study on Psalm 78, but we're going to look at this psalm from the perspective of the theme of reaching a coming generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've just sung Onward Christian Soldiers as our Kids for Christ ministry exits. We have young people with us this evening as well, and we thank the Lord for the privilege that is entrusted to us as members and friends of Central Florida Bible Church, that we have the blessed privilege of ministering to children at home, at church, and in some cases at work. We have some Christian school teachers and workers, servants of the Lord in that capacity. Psalm 78 was written by Asaph, King David's choir director. It's often called a didactic psalm, a psalm that's intended to teach us something. It's a psalm of instruction, and it traces the history of God's dealings with Israel. And as you look at the 72 verses of Psalm 78, you'll notice that it is not given in chronological order, largely emphasizing the event of the Exodus. But the point is, it deals with a tracing of history for the benefit of teaching young people the ways and the dealings of God. You know, in our own society, we see that there is a rewriting of history. History now is being rewritten according to the viewpoint of the New World Order, according to the one world mode of government. And we are seeing that the history that is being taught in public schools today is indeed not the factual history, nor the history that you were raised with. But this psalm was written to teach children how gracious God has been in the past, in spite of their forefathers' rebellion and ingratitude. Here within the pages of this psalm, there is a history lesson for our nation as well, because in many, many ways we have failed to be thankful for the blessings that God has given to our nation. But if the children, this psalm says, if the children will learn well the mistakes of the past, they hopefully will be able to avoid the judgments that fell upon their ancestors. Look at verse 8 of Psalm 78. And might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. You know, a church that is not reaching young people for Christ, a church that is not seeking to reach children for Christ, is a dying church. Is it any surprise that in communist countries, they oftentimes will say, we'll allow you to have your adults. We'll allow you to meet unhindered. But the children, oh no, they will not be a part of your ministry. We will have your children. We will educate your children. From the time that they are able to walk, the state will be their educator. And in many countries, what has been done by coercion, we are allowing in our generation because of apathy. We are allowing the state to take our children from our homes at 1, 2, 3 years of age because we want to make a living. We want to have a higher standard of living as a nation. Even many churches abdicating the proper teaching on the home or teaching on the home, and on the other side of their mouth, violating by practice. Many churches are opening up their doors and having ministries for infants and daycares and opening themselves up to government scrutinization and all types of things. And they're actually encouraging many, many young couples to abandon the first God-given role that was ever given or created by God as an institution, the home. And what many countries, under the hammer and the sickle, have it done by coercion, we have just capitulated in of our own free will. But you know, Psalm 78, you'll notice in verses 1 through 4, the Bible tells us, first of all, God's works are to be conveyed to our children. And you know, the primary force for Christian education is not the Christian school. It's not even the local church. God has intended the primary force of education to be in the home. A mother and a father actively involved in the home. Every dad needs to be the resident professor of systematic theology in his home. And that needs to be there. And God's works are to be conveyed to our children. Look at verses 1 through 4. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. And not only are we to convey to our children the Word of God, but as you read verses 5 through 8, even our children are to have as their goal to raise their children in the ways of the Lord. I want to challenge each and every young person, every single person, every young teen, every preteen. I want to challenge you today to see to it that you begin studying faithfully the Word of God. That you take in every single message that Pastor John or your Sunday school teacher teaches on the home and your place in the home under the submission and fulfilling God's function. Because God intends for you someday to take the truth of God's Word and teach it to your children. There's no room for armchair theology. What we're giving you is going to work in the trenches, young people. And you, above all, are going to need to fight the uphill battle because it's not going to get any easier with the intrusion of the state and the decline of the home and morality. And you must be girded with the armor of God. Notice verse 5. He established a testimony in Jacob, appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. The transmission of truth. None of us can afford to be a stagnant repository of God's truth. Everything that we receive, God intends for us to be a steward, to pass on to the coming generation. It says in verse 6, that the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. You know, sometimes we want an easy life for our kids. We want them to have it easy. And in our thinking, we say, oh, we don't want our kids to suffer the way that we did. Oh, that can be the worst thing oftentimes that we can desire for our children. An easy life can sometimes cause our children to take their focus off of the Lord. It says here, there's that danger, verse 7. They can remove their hope from the Lord, and they forget the works of God. They are to keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation that set not their hearts aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with God. And there are several lessons in Psalm 78 that are to be conveyed to the generation to come. There's the lesson of, number one, a disobedient people. Disobedient people. Look at verse 10. They kept not the covenant of God, refused to walk in His law, forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. We need to teach the coming generation about the danger of being disobedient. We need to demonstrate to our young people where the disobedience of our nation lies and the dangers of God removing His hand of blessing from our nation. We need to warn our children against being a disobedient people. But you know, also there's the lesson in verse 23 through 25, not only of the disobedient people, but a despised provision. You know, the Lord provided for the children of Israel, and His provision was despised. Look at verse 23 at how they despised the Lord's provision. Though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. This is referring to manna. It's not referring to angels' food cake. I know that some of you like devil's food cake better than angels' food cake. But that's not what this means, folks. It's manna. But they despised the provision of the Lord. Not only were they a disobedient people, but they despised provision. What a commentary upon our nation. The blessings that God has rained down upon America. And those blessings have turned for an occasion for us to grow apathetic, to forget the hand of God to the point where we are denying Him. We are seeking to remove His name from the very fabric of our society and judicial system. We have forgotten. The Lord sent them meat to the full, a despised provision. Look at verse 38. We need to point out to our young people divine pardon. Look at verse 38. Divine pardon. It says, He being full of compassion forgave their iniquity. Destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all of His wrath. I ask you today, has God been merciful in your life? Do you even begin to think that God has given to you everything you deserve? You'd be sizzling right now in the center of hell if He did. And the truth of the matter is, God has been merciful to us. He has been merciful to our nation, the United States of America. God has withheld His hand of judgment. I don't have time to go into the details of what is going on in our nation today, but God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if we go on very much longer with the things that are going on in our country. And I have news for you. He's not going to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. We, folks, are ripe for judgment. But God has been staying His hand out of mercy, seeking salvation, seeking repentance. And oh, how we have here a picture of divine pardon. And we need to teach our young people that God has been merciful. But there is a time when God will unleash His wrath upon a disobedient people. I see verses 52 and 53. I see a fourth lesson, a directed pathway. A directed pathway. Look at verse 52. He made His own people to go forth like sheep. You know, when we follow the ways of the Lord, even in the midst of a wicked and perverted generation, God always has a directed pathway for those who are willing to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We need to teach our children, you stay close to the Lord. Don't follow the crowd. Don't do what the world is doing. Be a peculiar people, that is, a people of God's private personal possession. Adorn the doctrine of God. God will lead you according to His directed pathway. And notice it says here, He guided them in the wilderness like a flock. We need to teach our young people that going God's way pays off in spades, because He promises that He'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, I've become increasingly aware of the fact that young people are increasingly becoming worried about what faces them in the coming years. Talk to young people. You know, you listen to young people. It'll give you a lot of sermon fodder, and it'll give you a lot of insight into what is going on in their minds. Young people today are becoming increasingly concerned about the future. But we need to encourage our young people that when you follow God in His path and you follow His pathway, His word, He will guide you. Notice verse 53. He led them on safely so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Teach them about the danger of a disobedient people. Teach them about the danger of despising provision. Teach them about divine pardon that's available for those who will seek Him. Teach them about directed pathway. And notice verse 55. Teach them about God's delivering power. Look at verse 55. He cast out the heathen also before them. They entered into the promised land. He divided them an inheritance by line, and He made the tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents. Oh, His delivering power. And you know, in verses 68 and 69, we need to teach them about a definite place. A definite place. You know, it's interesting. God has always had a place for God's people to be able to gather together, to worship, to praise Him, to fellowship. A definite place. You know, in verses 68 and 69, notice that definite place. He chose the tribe of Judah, the most despised, insignificant. Judah was not one of the prestigious tribes, but He chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion which He loved. And He built His sanctuary like high palaces, like the earth which He has established forever. Central place of worship. You know, God's people, I've never known a dedicated Christian that disregarded the local church. I've never known a victorious Christian that did not rely upon that definite place. That place where they could gather together under the sound of the Word to exercise their spiritual gifts, to minister to one another, to receive encouragement. Folks, this world is not our friend. We need to bear one another's burdens. We need to pray for one another here in prayer service. This place needs to be a refuge where we can come and know that brothers and sisters in Christ love us and care for us. And by the way, let me by application say this. Your home also needs to be a place of refuge. It breaks my heart when I hear of Christian kids that come home to a home where there's fighting and turmoil, and that's why they're seeking the leather jackets and the boots and the pierced ears and noses, and they want to belong because they don't feel that at home. That's sad. Very sad. Home needs to be a place of refuge, of support, of encouragement. And that's true of the local church as well. And if we don't have that for our young people, they're going to find it elsewhere, and it'll be with the heathens and the Canaanites in their pagan rituals and festivals. Oh, how we need to see to it that our home is a habitation not of demons, but of the Lord. And our church needs to be a place of love that reaches out, a hospital that will not seek to shoot their wounded, but to love the wounded. And yes, there's a place for biblical discipline if we're talking about the ultimate scenario, but even discipline is always done for the purpose of restoration and love, not hatred or animosity. A definite place. God always had a place for God's people to find refuge. We need to teach our young people faithfulness, and they will not learn that by sending them to church. We need to take them to church. We need to see to it that, as for me and my house, like Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Critical. Let me tell you, if you're in a job, if you are in a job that causes you to neglect your God-given role or your family, you better change jobs. How critical it is. Where is that job going to be when you stand before eternity? Now, I'll confess to you that this is one of the strongest battles that I have to face in my personal life, the balance. Having raised and in the process of, with Melody, 6 children and obligations, like you, wearing many hats. But folks, we cannot afford to put it on automatic pilot. And our church needs to support that priority. There are some churches that will lift up a bulletin and they'll say, look at here, Pereira, at ministerial fellowships. Look at here, Pereira, we got something every night of the week. We're really doing a good job as a church. And you know what I say? Sometimes I say, boy, looks like the church is maybe dividing the home more than the world is. Teenagers go here. Women go for basket weaving for Christ. Men are out on Tuesday for bowling for blessings. There's something Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the home is vacated, and there's no time for family, no time for the ministry of the home. Let's be careful about that. And another thing, and this is the final lesson that I see here that I want to just touch on, and that's verse 70. Teach them about a dedicated person. A dedicated person. You know, here David from the tribe of Judah is mentioned. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. They never forgot who their leader was. You know, when there is a church that despises leadership, that's going to affect your children's concept of authority in the home and how they respond to it as well. There needs to be, and by the way, there needs to be role models in the local church as well. And we need to be a servant of the Lord and to go on. And here was a man that was chosen from the sheepfolds. God works through humble people. I don't have to tell you about the priority of Deuteronomy chapter 6. We could go on into a separate message there. But Christian education, read the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the Word of God gives instructions to fathers. And it says, teach, and it begins with the heart. These truths shall be in your heart And then it's a matter of daily habit of instruction, and it's also a matter of the home, the daily exercise of responsibility. We are not, folks, to abdicate our God-given responsibilities to outside sources. Never are we allowed to do that. Let's dedicate ourselves towards being a church that is preparing a coming generation for Christ. I submit to you tonight, the success and the future of Central Florida Bible Church will be the vision, our vision of reaching children and young people for Christ, discipling them and staying the course for the vision that has been established for our ministry, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Will you put that on your prayer list tonight? That God will give each one of our elders wisdom, and that God will bless and give wisdom to every one of our Sunday school teachers and every one of our people that work with young people and teenagers and those of you that are youth sponsors and involved in so many of the cutting-edge ministries, that God will challenge us to have the right priority. But it all begins in our relationship with Christ and in the home. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we've just hastily looked at these verses in Psalm 78 in a brief way. And Lord, we look at the history of our lives, even as the history of Israel is recorded here. And I'm sure that in our lives we see elements of self-will and rebellion, areas of disobedience and departure from an obedient walk with you. But Lord, I thank you that you are a God of divine pardon. And that when we repent of our sins and confess them and acknowledge them, that you separate those sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Heavenly Father, we have a message to give to the nations. And that message must be conveyed to those that you've placed within our reach, within our homes, with our children, with our grandchildren. Lord, we can hear the sound of the music of the Canaanites around us. We can hear and see the philosophy of the world around us. Many churches are endorsing and adopting those very things that are part of the seeds of the destruction of our young people in this generation. Deliver us from that, Lord. And may we, Lord, seek to build up our young people according to your prescribed teachings in the Word of God. But above all, Father, may our lives model the truth of your Word. Forgive us, Lord, for we all have miserably failed so often in that area. And we thank you that you are a God who pardons. But may we not, Lord, take that grace for granted. Because, Lord, you are a chastening God who will discipline your children. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom. And as we go to prayer, may you bless and encourage hearts. May Central Florida Bible Church be a ministry of encouragement to those that are in need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.